be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Hear the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it. An evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy. But he has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word. But then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Prophet Jeremiah gives a twofold divine foretelling. First, is that people, his people, wouldn't localize all of their attention on the ark as a symbol of the presence of the Lord, because eventually they would see that the Lord pervades all of Jerusalem, that he wasn't going to be contained in a small little place, the measurements of which God had given to Moses and Aaron. And the second, those people who would be able to find him throughout all of Jerusalem at first would then be shepherded by people who would be shepherds after his own heart. That twofold prediction was fulfilled when Jesus came. And Jesus, in the gospel today, wants to help us to see how that occurs. He wouldn't allow his presence to remain merely in Jerusalem, but it would go to the ends of the earth. And the shepherds after his own heart would be those who bear fruit manifold. The end of Jeremiah's prophecy says they'll no longer walk in their hard-hearted wickedness. Hard-hearted is one of those great New England words where it can really show off our phonetics. But they would no longer walk in hardness of heart and that refusal to the Lord, but they'd walk with great receptivity. So in today's gospel, we see the fulfillment of how that occurs in the parable of the sower and the seed, which first teaches us probably the most important thing we need to know about being a disciple of the Lord. And then second, strengthens and encourages us for the vicissitudes of the apostolate. If we're going to be good sheep and then good shepherds of the Lord, hearing his voice and then helping to care for others so that they might hear his voice, we've been given ears to hear what the Lord says today. So there are four soil samples, as we know very well. The first is that hardened soil sample, which we see in the scribes and the Pharisees, who, no matter how many miracles Jesus worked, were resistant until the end. We find this hard-heartedness in inveterate sinners even today, those who are self-righteous, but sometimes in those who have just allowed the routine of the faith to strip them from the ever-newness that comes in our interaction with God. When I was a parish priest, I would see the hardened soil most often in daily Mass goers and their whole approach to the Word of God. Many were just trained not to pay attention, and it didn't matter what it was. Part of that is because priests didn't preach. So if priests didn't preach and apply it, they began to just wait until there'd be walking up to receive Holy Communion rather than letting that word sink deeply. We have to be attentive to the ways in which we don't really pay attention to the Word of God when we think we've already heard it. We've gone through this liturgical cycle many times. I remember the outcome. There are very few movies, for example, we can watch 100 times because we get bored. Sometimes we can approach the Word of God that way. But the Lord doesn't want us to walk in hard-heartedness or in that partial deafness. Second type of soil, he says, is rocky soil, superficial. For anybody who's done gardening, a lot of the times when we think about rocky soil, we think about what we have to do in taking the various stones away when we're first making a new place where we're going to be planting. It was something far more than that in the Holy Land, because most parts of the Holy Land would have a thick layer of limestone about 3 to 5 inches underneath the soil. Yesterday in the prophecy of Jeremiah, we were talking about how cisterns were made. They were made in those underground limestone quarries stretching most of the country. And when a seed would hit there and then turned over, because that was the way the planting happened at Jesus' age, they didn't upturn the soil first. They sowed the seed on all four and then they turned it over. When you did that where there was the limestone underneath, it would be just a small little area in which water would be at first and sunshine would come, the two things you really need in order to make a seed germinate. And it would grow very fast. But as Jesus says, when the sun rose to its zenith, it would be scorched because it didn't have roots. Jesus says, these are the people who hear the word of God and receive it at once with joy, but they have no root and it lasts only for a time. That when persecution or trial comes because of it, they fall away. We can often approach the Lord and all that He's doing in our life, particularly in this consumerist age, evaluating everything according to our pleasures, whether we like it or not. If we're entertained, we'll receive it, but only for a time. If we don't like it, we dismiss it. But we're, in a sense, superficial and shallow when it comes to the Word of God. We have to allow the Word of God to drill deeply through even the stones that we have underneath the clerex and underneath the habit. The Lord wants to go very deep. Third type of soil, and we see that superficial soil, for example, in those who heard Jesus preach and were fed by Him in the multiplication of loaves and fish, crossed all along the upper lip of the Sea of Galilee for another free meal. But as soon as Jesus challenged them to eat His flesh and drink His blood, they walked away. They had received initially what He had been saying with pleasure. But as soon as Jesus asked them, even in faith, to accept something that they didn't want to, out they went. And it's a very common soil sample. Third is this thorny soil. Jesus says that the thorns aren't necessarily sins, even though sins would clearly choke the growth of the seed. But He says here, their worldly anxiety and the lure of riches. In St. Luke's version, the pleasures of life. They bear no fruit because most of the nitrogen in their spiritual soil goes to grow thorns rather than to grow what God Himself has implanted. This is a truth that makes great sense to us when we know it. If today you're here, but one of your family members is dying without the ministrations of a priest, it would be very hard for you to be paying attention to what I'm saying right now, or what the Word of God is. When we've got these preoccupations with the things in the world, it will distract us. Likewise, if all you're thinking about is what's going to be served for breakfast, how great the air conditioning is, I mean, whatever, we don't pay attention. And the Lord wants us to notice what those worldly cares and anxieties and the pleasures that we seek are. We see, for example, these types of people in the rich young man in the gospel, who had the potential to do something really beautiful for the Lord, He had kept the commandments perfectly, he said, from the time he was a young boy. When Jesus challenged him, his stuff, his material possessions, were too much. And he went away sad. For us to bear good fruit, we have to notice and we have to bring to the Lord what would be the good or the bad distractions that could keep us from uniting certain areas of our life fully to Him. And then the good soil, which Jesus says bears fruit 30 or 60 or 100 fold, changes our life in many ways, not just a little, that it has that impact to alter who we are by 100 or more ways. Is that the way we listen to the Word of God? Jesus promises that if we're a good tree, we will bear good fruit. We remain a good tree by being attached to Him. We don't have to count the fruit or focus so much on output. We have to focus on the unity with the Lord. But when we're truly united to what He says and how He implants ourselves, it'll be a revolution in our life and those around us. Today the church celebrates a great monk who's a model of good and fruitful soil. When he was young, he had a great hunger for God, but there was the opposition in his family. The family, again, was religious. They would go through the religious practices. But somebody giving over his entire life to God was too much for them. So he had to leave his home in the early 20s, in his early 20s, in order to become a monk. And there, in great prayer, he received what the Lord gave him and bore incredible fruit, especially as a spiritual director and as a priest, counseling so many who would come to him in the monastery. Even after his life, he continues to bear fruit. His mortal remains glowed as they were incorrupt. A theophanic experience that communicated quite clearly that he was radiating Christ throughout his entire life. And so many miracles have come through prayers made to God through Charbel's intercession. He continues to bear fruit into eternity. But he shows us that receptivity we need to have to the Lord, because the Lord's grace is not contained in a box, but pervades the entire earth. Second aspect of this gospel is about the apostolate, that when we go out to sow seed for the Lord, we will find all four soil samples. Sometimes we can get so discouraged when people respond to our evangelizing with hardened soil. But the rejection, Jesus said, we will often encounter. That's not the sower's fault. It's not the seed's fault. People have freedom, and sometimes they harden their hearts. But if we're going to be effective in proclaiming the gospel, we have to be aware of what makes people superficial and what makes soil thorny. In my work as a high school chaplain, I was constantly challenging the kids to go much deeper, to notice how the culture just wants them to receive the gospel this much until they're confirmated, as they used to say. No, he was calling us much more than that, but we have to be aware of it. Likewise, we've got to tend to the preoccupations and to the dreams that they have in order to be able to help them find God in both if we really want to see that growth. It's one of the most important things in spiritual direction, to be attentive to the thorns. Today at Mass, on this feast of St. Charbel, the Divine Sower comes to sow not just His Word in us, with the prayer that we will bear extraordinary fruit as a result of what He's taught. But as the grain of wheat falling to the ground and dying, He sows Himself in us in His uber-fruitful passion. As we prepare to receive Him today, let's ask for the grace to receive Him with soil similar to St. Charbel. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.